Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have quite a few announcements this morning, but I want to start out by thanking you for all of the warm birthday wishes and all of the get well wishes. Thank you for all of you that have been praying for me as I have been recovering from shingles. As you've heard, it is quite unpleasant, so I'm sort of telling everybody I know, please get your shingles vaccine if you are able to. But I really appreciate all of your prayers. This week, we've got a few things going on. Tomorrow night, men's group meets at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Tuesday night, it's Brews and Hymns at Bull City downtown at 7 o'clock. The last few times, Holly Grove has had the biggest turnout of the churches that attend, and it's just a really fun time together. So we hope that you will join us for that. The next two Sundays are big Sundays in the life of the church. Next Sunday is Reformation Sunday. And so if you remember, please wear red. Red is the color of the day. We have red pyramids twice a year, Pentecost Sunday and Reformation Day, both days where we remember that the Holy Spirit is very active and is continuing to move and transform the church. Next Sunday is also the fifth Sunday of the month, so we will be having a potluck. As you know, I love potluck, so be thinking about what you want to make and to bring. The last one, just a couple of months ago, we had such a great turnout and such a variety. It was wonderful. So we can look forward to that next Sunday. In two Sundays, it is All Saints Sunday. So on All Saints Sunday, we will lift up the names of our members and friends who have died in the last year, and we will light a candle in their memory. Of course, we will lift up the names of our members who have died, but if any of you have friends, family, and you would also like their names spoken out loud and a candle lit in their memory, please let me know. Send me their name, their birth date, and their death date, because we would love to have that happen. It's time again to sign up on the time and talents sheets for 2023. These are back at the Narthex. I believe they were also in the newsletter for October. I've had someone else ask me again if we can do it in November. So please be in prayer about how God is calling you to offer your time and your gifts to the church in the coming year. I was working on two bulletins at the same time this week, and so an announcement for next week snuck into this week's bulletin. Next week, the sign-up sheets for the Mother's Rose Garden and altar flowers for 2023 are going to be available on the bulletin board. So yes, it's in here for this week, but next week those are going to be available. We've got a couple of prayer shawls, and we've got a card. Paul and Carolina are joining us in worship today, and just having you with us, I feel like I could cry. It's a gift to have you in person worshiping with us, because just a couple of weeks ago you were so sick and we were quite scared. And so thanks be to God that you are with us again in person. And they offer this card. Holly Grove Church members, thanks to everyone for the many acts of kindness shown during Paul being in the hospital and both of us being sick. We are so blessed to be in such a caring church family. Thank you, and may God bless each of you. Paul and Carolina. And then a couple of prayer shawls. This is for Edna, who is a friend of Edwina's. And Edna has stage 4 cancer. So as Edwina has asked us to pray for Edna. Edna and Edwina. Their names are very similar. And Michael Burris is a friend of Debbie and Herbert's, who has a lump on his lung, and they're looking into that. So this is for Michael. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you always hear us when we come to you in prayer, that we can pray to you no matter where we are, and that we can offer you prayers with imperfect words. We don't need some magic spell to offer you, that you hear our hearts. And on our hearts this morning are Edna and Michael. We ask that you would be with each of them as they are going through different challenges. We ask that you would bless these prayer shawls, and that as each of them feels the weight of these shawls on their bodies, that they would be reminded of the love and care that we have for them here at Holly Grove, and that they would feel the weight of your love covering them. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there any other announcements that I am forgetting? Birthdays, thank you. We've got a few birthdays this week. Scott Curry, Crystal Ferguson, Jim Horn, and Holly Curry. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And a big thank you to Anna Nelson for organizing the trunk or treat yesterday. We had a wonderful turnout. It was so much fun. Thank you for all the time and energy you put into that. Thank you to everyone who contributed with a trunk, and for all of you who came to participate. It was a really great evening. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who is eager to forgive and who loves us beyond our days. Amen. Dear friends, together let us acknowledge our failure to love this world as Jesus does. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that sin still has a hold on us. We have harmed your good creation. We have failed to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Turn us in a new direction. Show us the path that leads to life. Be our refuge and strength on the journey. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend. Amen. Beloved, in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven and you are made whole. God points the new way to life in Christ, who meets us on the road. Journey now in God's abiding love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, our righteous judge, daily your mercy surprises us with everlasting forgiveness. Strengthen our hope in you and grant that all the peoples of the earth may find their hope in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. Happy are they who dwell in your house.
They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you.
Whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the balsam valley will find it a place of springs.
For the early rains have covered it with pools of water.
They will climb from the height to height.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. I'd also like to invite Anna and Tina forward. So we meant to do this sometime this summer and as the school year started and programming gets started, but it never quite worked out that we were all here on this. Actually, if you'll help me gather at the font, because I want to talk about how you too have faithfully lived out your baptismal promises as you have led Silly and as you are leading Silly. So Tina sent this to me a while back when I asked her how Silly even came about. And so I'm going to read this. She said, everyone has that first friend that becomes your forever friend. Ty's forever friend was Lauren Cecil. Their friendship began at Sharon Everhart's home daycare and developed into Ty giving Lauren a promise ring, probably from a gumball machine. When Lauren tragically died the summer of 2013, I felt this push to start a youth group in her honor so that our kiddos at Holly Grove could all develop Christian friendships, much like Ty and Lauren had. I created the name SILY, which stands for Spreading Love, Spreading Lauren's Love Youth. SILY began that school year of 2013-2014, which was Ty's fourth grade year, and little Isabel was only 2 years old. I made the age range from walking through fifth grade. Fast forward through 9 school years, and SILY is still going strong. Praise God. Fourth grader Ty is now in college, and sweet little 2-year-old Isabel is now in middle school. It's time for a new SILY leader to continue spreading Lauren's love. I'm delighted that Anna Nelson has accepted the role. Ironically, I was her babysitter way back when, and now she is an awesome teacher, wife, stepmom, Christian, and friend. May SILY continue building lifelong Christian friendships for many years to come. So that's a little bit of how SILY got started. And I think your hope and desire for SILY has continued over these years, and it will continue for many years to come. And so, Tina, we want to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for your leadership of SILY for all of these years, and for you allowing God to use you and your energy and time to help build friendships among our youth. And then we'd like to offer a prayer to sort of commission Anna, although she's already been leading for a few months, to commission you to share love here at Holly Grove as you lead SILY. And so we've talked about this before, right? That when we are baptized, God makes promises to us, and the church makes promises to us. And then when we grow up and we're confirmed, like Tina and Anna were here both at Holly Grove, they themselves make promises to God, and they make promises to the church. And so in their baptism and in their confirmation, God made promises to them, and they made promises that they would love God and love others, and that they would serve here at the church. And so the reason we are standing here at the font to pray is I want to remind you that you have faithfully lived out your baptismal promises, and that you have trusted that God is faithful in keeping the promises to you. And also, I want us to lay hands on Tina and Anna as we pray for them. We've talked about the importance of laying on of hands before, but it's a way that we ask the Holy Spirit to use us and our bodies to bless others. I love it that Lauren's little brother and sister are having fun up here. And as always, I love it when children are noisy and active, because that's what children are. That's who they are. And so I know sometimes parents can worry that they want their kids to sit still and be really well behaved. They're not misbehaving. They're being 2 and 3, and they're spreading joy and love. So will you guys help me in laying hands on Tina and Anna as we pray for them? Maybe gather around. God, we thank you for the gift of SILY, that Tina decided years ago that she wanted to honor the friendship that Lauren and Ty shared, and that she has offered her time and energy all of these years to help our young people foster friendships among themselves and to have fun experiences here at church, learning more about you and your love for them. We thank you for her faithfulness. We thank you for her willingness to offer her time and energy. We thank you for the ways that she has faithfully lived out her baptism. And as she now passes the torch for SILY onto Anna, we ask that you would bless Anna in all of her endeavors as she seeks to continue to spread love here at Holly Grove in Lauren's memory and spread love among the youth. May you bless her time and energy, may you bless her efforts, and may you bless all the children who participate, that they may come to know you deeper, and that they may grow in wisdom and knowledge of your love. We thank you for the gift of learning, and ask that you would help all of us to learn about you throughout our whole lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we offer a round of applause to Tina for her service. And please hold Anna in your prayers as she continues to lead Silly. You all may return to your seats. I would much rather have children present and be active and noisy than to not have them in worship with us at all. So I'm grateful for their presence. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm already ready for next Sunday, Reformation Sunday. We get to bring out our red paraments. I get to wear my red stole that I got when I was ordained. We're having a potluck. I was already going through some recipes yesterday, trying to decide what I might make. And it's Reformation Sunday. We get to remember some of our Lutheran history and how God used our brother Martin to help reform and bring some much-needed change to the church. And it gives us yet another opportunity to think about how God might be calling us to continue to bring about reform in the church. I've even toyed with the idea of having a little bit of a Marty party next Sunday at the potluck. I don't know if any of you have heard of Marty parties, but it's just a fun little something that you can do on Reformation Sunday where you have a few games, and we might have some photo props where you hold something that says, "Here I stand." Or you have a silly little hat like Martin used to wear. So maybe we might have a little Marty party with the potluck next week. You know, we tend to think of Martin Luther as a man who was deeply strong in his faith. But in fact, young Martin, who entered the monastery and was a monk long before he was a theologian and a professor and the reformer that we know, as a young monk, Luther was a deeply troubled soul. And we don't talk about that a lot, but he really was. He wanted so desperately to be right with God, and yet he could not. No matter how hard he tried, no matter what he did, he could not, on his own effort, ever find peace with God. In fact, he wrote once, "I tortured myself almost to death in order to procure peace with God for my troubled heart and agitated conscience. But surrounded with thick darkness, I found peace nowhere." He was a tormented soul because no matter how hard he tried, he could not save himself from his own sinfulness and his own brokenness. And while he was a monk, he was able to encounter Scripture in a way like he never could as a layperson, because he had access to Scripture as a monk. And so as he had access to Scripture, he began to pore over and over and over Scripture, looking for some nugget of hope so that he could find peace with God, so that he could find some way to earn or work for this peace. And one day, as he was poring over some of the writings of the Apostle Paul, he found these words: "The righteous live by faith." Martin Luther learned that for grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing, but it is the gift of God. We are saved by faith. It is not our own doing. It is the gift of God. Luther had begun, and he worked through this his whole life, to understand that it is not our own works that save us. Christ saves us. And what Christ did on the cross saves us. Our works, no matter how good, no matter how many, no matter how religious, our works cannot save us. It is by grace alone that we are saved. And this gift of salvation, it happened on the cross, and we receive it in our baptism. And just like we did nothing to deserve it, we can do nothing to remove it. Because you've heard me say it again and again, and you will hear me say it again and again even more. There is nothing, no thing, that you can do or say or not do or say to make God love you any less. In your baptism, you were adopted as God's children, and nothing can undo that. Literally, no thing. And so we come to today's gospel lesson where we encounter a Pharisee, a leading religious leader of the day, and a tax collector, a blatant and despised sinner. The contrast between the two couldn't be further apart. And yet, on this particular day, they both go to the temple to pray. And it's here where we see the difference, but not in the way that we might expect. You see, the religious leader sees his place before God as his own doing. His prayer is about what he has done and about what he is doing for God. He is so proud of his religious acts that he justifies himself before God. The tax collector, on the other hand, is deeply ashamed of his actions. He won't even look up to heaven as he prays. He genuinely recognizes his sins, his misdeeds, and his brokenness. And he cries out to God for mercy, and God, who is rich in steadfast love, pours mercy upon him, forgiving him of his sins and justifying this man. You see, these two remind us of the hard-learned lesson that our brother Martin learned over 500 years ago. We are unable to save ourselves. There is nothing we can do to earn God's love or forgiveness. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's mercy and grace. The Pharisee had fallen into the sin of arrogance and pride because he thought that if he did good works, good religious works, that he was better than others in God's sight. That his fasting, his giving, everything else he did, that it somehow earned God's favor in his life. But Jesus, in telling us this parable, is teaching us something about God and something about ourselves. It is God who redeems us. We don't redeem ourselves. Jesus reminds us that God is merciful, deeply tender, and gracious and compassionate to us. And in using the example of a blatant sinner, a tax collector, Jesus reminds us that God is so merciful that there is no one outside the scope of God's love and forgiveness, and that there is no sin that God will not forgive and have mercy upon. Jesus challenges us in this parable to avoid trusting in our own efforts to save ourselves. Jesus reminds us that there is no amount of trusting in ourselves that can make us right with God. He reminds us that there's no amount of good works that can earn forgiveness. There are no amount of good works that can earn God's love and grace. That's not how God's love works, and that's not who God is. We don't have to do anything to earn God's love. It's all a free gift, Now, this doesn't mean that since we have received the gift of salvation in our baptism, that we can just kind of go about and do whatever we want. It means that in the waters of baptism, God sets us free from our sinfulness so that we can love others and love God with all of who we are and all that we have. Luther is famous for saying, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. Because of who God is and what God has done and is doing for us, we respond with gratitude by loving God and by loving our neighbors. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to strive for God's love, for God's grace, for God's mercy. We already have it. May we be able to open our eyes and our hearts to see that God's love and goodness, forgiveness and mercy are already lavished upon us. May we fully and more deeply live into our identity as God's children and live the love that has been poured upon us. Amen.
Thank you.
together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all God's creation. God of mercy, you are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Inspire your church to serve and love all people with the unceasing grace you extend to us. Hear us, O God. God of all creation, you formed a world where even the sparrow finds a home. Preserve the beauty and the diversity of all creatures with whom we share the earth. Lead us to protect all living things. Hear our prayer, O God. God of peace, you are ever-present help in the time of trouble. Rescue families and nations torn apart by violence and warfare. Unite all people toward common goals of reconciliation and peace for every person. Hear us, O God. God of hope, you stand with the suffering and give strength. Comfort your people filled with fear or anger, anxiety or shame. Bring healing to all who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, Bonnie, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Neil, Paul and Carolina, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now lift aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. God of restoration, you call us to trust in you and not ourselves alone. Make this congregation a community of humility and repentance, ready to encounter you in love and follow in your ways. Hear us, O God. God of eternal life, to you be the glory forever. We give you thanks for all who have fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith, and now live with you. Hear us, O God.
With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing, and make us ready to share with all in need. Through Jesus Christ, who sets the table for all. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and so by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. With all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say amen. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of freedom, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
Christ invites you to this table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. God of the abundant table, you have refreshed us in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us grace on the road that we might serve our neighbors with joy. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Say our mission statement. The united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, love your neighbor.
Thanks be to God.